Psalm 93 says, Jehovah is king. He is robed in majesty and strength. The world is his throne. O Lord, you have reigned from prehistoric times, from the everlasting past. The mighty oceans thunder your praise. You are mightier than all the breakers pounding on the seashores of the world. Your royal decrees cannot be changed. Holiness is forever the keynote of your reign.
And if you're feeling all evangelical, you can run up and down too.
Pray with me. Lord, you are great. You are holy. We've come here to worship you today. Move us. Send us your spirit in this hour. Change our lives. Amen.
Good morning. I'm going to be reading Psalm 27. And David, of course, wrote this psalm. When he wrote it, he was surrounded by enemies. And he frequently called on the Lord for help and for guidance. He sought God out in everything. And he asked for the Lord's protection. And like us, we too are surrounded by spiritual enemies. And we need to keep focused on our Lord and keep seeking him out. As David was a man after God's heart, we need to be women and men and children of God's heart, seeking him out. And so if you're struggling today, or feel oppressed, feel anxiety, I'm just hoping that this psalm will speak to you. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When evil men advance against me to devour my flesh, when my enemies and my foes attack me, they will stumble and fall. Though an army besiege me and my heart will not fear, the war break out against me, even then will I be confident. One thing I ask of the Lord, this is what I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to seek him in his temple. For in the day of trouble, he will keep me safe in his dwelling. He will hide me in the shelter of his tabernacle and set me high upon a rock. Then my head will be exalted above the enemies who surround me. At his temple, I will sacrifice with joy and I will sing and make music to the Lord. Hear my voice when I call, O Lord. Be merciful to me. Answer me. My heart says of you, seek his face. Your face, Lord, I will seek. Do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger. You have been my helper. Do not reject me or forsake me, O God, my Savior. Though my father and my mother forsake me, the Lord will receive me. Teach me your way, O Lord. Lead me in the straight path because of my oppressors. Do not turn me over to the desires of my foes, for false witness rises up against me, breathing out violence. I am still confident of this. I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and take heart and wait for the Lord.
Thank you, Tammy. Lord, we give you thanks for this day and this time to be in praise and worship of you this morning. We return to you now this a portion of your blessing towards us. Receive it from us. Multiply it. May we use it diligently for your kingdom work. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Our children's hymn is 495, Jesus Loves Even Me. And if our children could come forward to the front pew, that would be wonderful. Let us pray. During our prayer meetings during the week, Tuesday and afternoon, Wednesday evening, we have tried to take a little bit of a different track with some of our prayers. We spend a lot of time asking God for stuff. Right? And it's at times we need to just to praise God for who He is and for what He has done. Let's never forget that we should also be praising God, not just asking Him. So let us pray. Father God, we've gathered here today to worship You. We worship You because You are a great God. You are our Creator, You are our Redeemer, and we give You thanks and praise and all the glory for all the blessings You pour out on us as individuals, as families, and as a community of the faithful here in Newmarket. Lord, we thank You for blessing all the churches and all the congregations that are gathered this morning. You are a holy God, and You call us to be holy. Lord, we give You thanks and praise for the peace and affluence that we experience here in Canada. We give You thanks and praise that we have democratic processes where we can choose our leaders. And we do pray that our new leaders in Ontario will govern with diligence, humility, honesty, faithfulness. Lord, thank You for our freedoms. Lord, thank You for clean running water. Thank You for the abundance that we experience here. Thank You for Jesus, who came and showed us what You are like, showed us the way to live, gave us the one simple command to love God and to love each other. Lord, each one of us needs to check our report card on that. Lord, thank You for this community of Christian Baptist Church. Thank You for Your many years of faithfulness towards us. Lord, may we be faithful in return. Bless us today, we pray, for our annual meeting. Lord, may we catch a vision of what You are calling us to. May we be willing to move forward, to be effective in our ministry in this community. Lord, while we give You thanks for the many healings we've experienced in our human bodies here, Lord, we ask You now to bless Bill Stevens and his family. Bill's uncle died this week in Ottawa, and Bill and Sheila are up there this weekend. We ask You to pour blessings of comfort upon that whole family, Lord, in this time of grief and mourning. Lord, I pray Your blessing of peace and comfort on families, on marriages. Lord, may husbands be gentle with their wives. May wives be gentle with their husbands. And Lord, where marriages are strained, Lord, bring remembrance of those early days back to both members of the couple. Lord, may children and teenagers and young adults at home be kind and gentle with their words too, remembering the mom and dad that raised them and provided for them. May they honor their parents. And Lord, for seniors who live alone and have times of loneliness, Lord, I pray your comfort of your presence with them. And for those who are caring for spouses in nursing homes, Lord, give them an extra blessing of your grace and your comfort and your peace. And now each one of us has a special personal prayer of thanks to God, or of supplication, or for some other person. So in the quietness of this time, offer up that prayer to your Heavenly Father now. Heavenly Father, gracious God, thank you for hearing our prayers this morning. We pray them in the holy name of Jesus. And Lord, we give you thanks for hearing and answering our prayers. Amen. Amen. It's good to see Tim back in our fellowship this morning. Getting better. Wonderful to see you, Tim. The world is filled with terrible stories of people and nations who have followed leaders and ideologies that have led to absolute disaster. Absolute disaster. We can think of the 20th century and what went on in Europe, in Germany, under a powerful leader, and a nation that followed one powerful voice. And it led to the virtual total destruction of that nation and the loss of millions of lives around the world through listening to one powerful voice. And throughout our history, it's something I have followed fairly closely over the years, there have been cults that have come up. You may remember the name of David Koresh and the Branch Davidian in Waco, Texas, just 20 years ago. 52 adults died and 28 children died because of this cult. And people followed this cult leader. And Jim Jones in Jonestown, Guyana in 1978, over 900 people died following a false leader. 1997, Marshall Applewhite, the Heaven's Gate cult, who were going to join a comet that was flying by. 39 people took their lives following a false leader. All over the world today, people are listening to and following the wrong people. They're following the wrong voices. Many, as I've just mentioned, have lost their lives because of it. And of course, the greater tragedy is that they bring children with them. When it comes to the spiritual realm, of course, there are also many voices. Some saying this is true, some others saying no, that is true. We're living in what's called the information age, being bombarded with messages through all forms of media all the time, from all different sources. And we're going to have to learn to discern which ones we're going to listen to and which ones we're going to discard. We have to learn to discern truth from error. It's as simple as that. Truth from error. You know, I've mentioned this before in a message, we have GPS systems, or people have GPS systems in their cars, so they can be told which way to go on their route. Tragically, even that has led to people dying. because they listened to the wrong instructions, ended up in a lonely place, and lost their lives because of it. So the question is, who can we trust? What voice can we trust? What voice, what message should we seek out and listen to? Our text for today is from Luke chapter 9, Luke's gospel of the movement of Jesus through Galilee, down to Jerusalem, and ultimately to the cross. One day Jesus took Peter, John, and James with him and went up into a mountain to pray. As he was praying, the appearance of his face changed, and his clothes became as bright as a flash of lightning. Two men, Moses and Elijah, appeared in glorious splendor, talking with Jesus. They spoke about his departure, which was he was going to bring about in Jerusalem. Peter and his companions were very sleepy, but when they became fully awake, they saw his glory and the two men standing with him. As the men were leaving Jesus, Peter said to him, "Master, it is good for us to be here. Let us put up three shelters, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." He didn't know what he was saying. While he was speaking, a cloud appeared and enveloped them, and they were afraid as they entered the cloud. A voice came from the cloud saying, "This is my son, whom I have chosen. Listen to him." When the voice had spoken, they found that Jesus was alone. The disciples kept this to themselves and told no one at that time what they had seen. "This is my son, whom I have chosen. Listen to him." God here is speaking in very plain words the answer to that question. Who should I listen to? Where is the truth? How can I discern? Where can I get the straight answer? Where can I get trustworthy answers? Whose voice can I say is totally reliable, totally trustworthy, and I can trust my life to that voice? God's answer is, "Here is my son, whom I have chosen. Listen to him." The message here is quite clear. It's don't listen to whomever or whatever. This book, that TV show. Listen to Jesus. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." He made that startling claim about himself, that he is the truth. Those who have Jesus in their lives and stay with him, building their lives on him, and are seeking him and listening to his guiding voice, they have life. They will not go wrong because they're listening to that one, only trustworthy voice. In Luke 6, Jesus is speaking. "I will show you what he is like who comes to me and hears my words and puts them into practice." Jesus speaking. "He or she who hears my words and puts them into practice." It's all very well knowing the quotes from Jesus. It's all very well being able to flip this quote and that quote from Scripture. But the statement here is, "and puts them into practice," which means we live by it. "He is like a man building a house who dug down deep and laid the foundation on rock. When a flood came, the torrent struck that house, but could not shake it because it was well built. But the one who hears my words and does not put them into practice is like a man who built a house on the ground without a foundation. The moment the torrent struck that house, it collapsed and its destruction was complete. We need to be in communion with Jesus on a daily basis. We need to be walking with him, talking with him, and listening with him. We need to be close to him so we can hear. Again, Jesus said in John chapter 10, "My sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. And they shall never perish. No one can snatch them out of my hand." That's a tremendous promise, isn't it? That if we're walking with Jesus, listening to him, our eternity is secure. And our life here on earth is secure too. No one can snatch you away from Jesus. Challenge, of course, is how can you listen to someone you don't know? How can I hear Jesus speak if I have no relationship with him? When God said, "Here is my son whom I have chosen, listen to him," it suggests that we must get close to him to hear him. Perhaps we must go out of our way. Perhaps we've got to make some changes in our schedule. Set aside some time. Be intentional so we can listen to Jesus. We all know that story of Zacchaeus. Being a short man, he knew Jesus was coming but couldn't see him. So he ran ahead and climbed a tree. He was prepared to change his way. He was prepared to do something that was quite undignified in those days for a man, a grown man, to climb a tree. That he wanted to get to Jesus. He was prepared to make a change in his life. And the reward, of course, was that Jesus came down and joined him in his home that day. Something inside of him said, "I must get to Jesus. I must see him. I must hear him." Maybe it requires some effort on our part, a time change, a schedule change, TV switched off a little earlier in the evening. We do need to get close, because when the Lord speaks, he doesn't shout. In vain we know that story of Elijah, who ran away after he was attacked. And when God found him, he said, "Go and stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord." And a great and powerful wind tore the mountain and broke the rocks. But the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. After the earthquake came a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire came a gentle whisper. In amongst the clamor of all that noise, after it had all died down, there was a gentle whisper where Elijah was able to hear God speak. We sometimes need to get away to a quiet place so we can hear Jesus speak. Our lives are so full of noise and clamor and activity and busyness that there's no time. God's waiting for you to be quiet enough to hear his voice. We have to listen because of all the falsehood that's out there. We have to listen very carefully because there's so many voices saying this and saying that. And that's not a new thing. Deception and myths and error have been around since the beginning. Paul writes to Timothy, who was a young pastor. He gave him advice in his two letters, 1 and 2 Timothy. And in 2 Timothy, he says in chapter 4, for the time will come when men will not put up with sound doctrine. Hello? 2013. Time will come when men will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. No shortage of that. No shortage of preachers and speakers and writers and TV personalities who say what people want to hear. And they gather around them a great number of followers. They will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths. We have to get close to Jesus to hear what he is saying. We have to be in the scripture to hear what Jesus said. Or we're going to be confused and confounded by error. There are many myths in the church even, sadly. There are people who pick and choose what they want to believe from scripture. The reason I'm in the Baptist church is because where I was before, I was criticized from teaching Sunday school from the Bible. And I was criticized soundly because I held that scripture to be the inerrant, eternal word of God and authority. And that was no longer acceptable in that particular denomination. So I ended up at a Baptist church. Poor me. Who knew? Who knew? Who knew? But there it is. It's the truth. We have to be in it. We cannot pick and choose nice bits from the Bible and say, I love that part, but I really don't care for that part. That's not right. Sometimes you'll have a discussion with someone about a faith matter, and you'll hear them say, well, what I think is, you know, what you think and what I think is irrelevant. What you think and what I think is irrelevant. It's what the Bible says that's God's truth. What Jesus said is the truth. Even when you hear something that purports to be from the Bible, check it out. Check it out. In 1 John, in John's first letter, first epistle, he says, dear friends, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see if they're from God. And in Acts, the noble Bereans, they listened to what Paul said, but checked the scriptures every day to see if these things were true. Someone comes along to you and says, oh, well, the Bible says something, something, something. You say, okay, fine, let's sit down with the Bible and find out exactly where it says something, something, something. Most of the time you'll find that it's in error, misinterpretation, misunderstanding, or just plain not there at all. One of my favorites is, God helps those who help themselves. That's in the Bible, you know. No, it ain't. You won't find anything remotely pointing to that. God helps those who totally rely on God. Of course, if you're not a regular reader of Scripture, then you leave yourself vulnerable to any voice that sounds like it's true. And we know that. We hear things and they sound so true, they sound so holy, they sound so spiritual, but they're so wrong. And how do we discern? We have to be in the Word. We have to be close to Jesus. We have to hear what he's saying to us, day by day, moment by moment. We have to know the difference. The world speaks very, very loudly, and the Spirit speaks in a whisper. Paul writing to the Corinthian church, we have not received the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God. If you're a believer, and you're a follower of Jesus Christ, the spirit that you have is the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, not the spirit of the world. And we have that spirit that we may understand what God has freely given us. God has given us freely his word. It's right there in a book. You can buy one for less than $10. And we've probably all got one or two or more in our homes. Sadly, many of them have got a fine layer of dust on them. We need to get the book out. We need to get time set aside to read it. And we need to be in there reading what Jesus is saying. Paul went on to say, this is what we speak, not in words taught us by human wisdom, but in words taught by the Spirit, expressing spiritual truths in spiritual words. It's a different world. There's the spiritual world and the world. We have to decide which one we're in. When we start to hear some of the things that Jesus said, we can take great comfort in this life. For what he said, Jesus said, I am the way, follow me. I am the way, I am the truth. He said, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never go hungry. He who believes in me will never be thirsty. Have you ever hungered and thirsted to know the truth, to live a righteous life? Jesus said, I am the bread of life. In the Matthew Sermon on the Mount, Jesus said, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. If you're really hungry and thirsty to know the truth of God in your life, to have the Spirit in your life, to have Jesus in your life, you will be filled. If you're hungry for righteousness. But get close to Jesus and listen to him. Take your fill of him. Abide with him throughout the day. Again in John, I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man or woman remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Do you want to have a fruitful life? Do you want to have a life that's filled with joy? No matter what happens in your life, Jesus is there alongside you. Apart from me, you can't do much? No. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Apart from me, you can do nothing, Jesus says. If anyone does not remain in me, he is like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up and thrown into the fire and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you. And to know Jesus' words, you have to hear them. You have to read them off the pages of Scripture. You have to hear them in your heart. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be given to you. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. He wants us all to bear fruit. Fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness. The fruit of a church that's filled with the Spirit is more people coming to Christ. That's the evidence. It's more and more people wanting to come to Christ because of the work we do as a united body of Christ in this community. We all want to live a Christian life that bears fruit. As you live closer and closer to Jesus, more and more people are going to come to you and seek you out for your wisdom. Because when you speak the truth. Because you have the Spirit of truth in you. In the workplace, in the school, in the marketplace. People are going to seek you out when they've got problems. And you can give them the comfort that you have. Because you have Christ indwelling you. And you can be trusted. The one thing we don't want to be is like the branch that doesn't bear fruit. That withers and gets cut off. Thrown in the fire. Get close to Jesus. listen to him. He will guide your paths, he will direct your steps, and he will bring you into a relationship with God that will last for eternity. There are so many voices and choices in this world. So many options for truth, so-called truth. But there is only one truth, and that is found in Jesus Christ. Receive him. Receive him. Confess your emptiness. Confess your lack of belief. And receive him as your Savior. And listen to his words. And let him guide and direct your life. From today on into eternity. Let us pray. Father God, how can we not be so grateful and overjoyed that you sent Jesus Christ, your Son, to be the truth, to be the way, the truth, and the life. Lord, we repent that we have spent days, weeks, some months and years living life our way and not giving Jesus the time of day. Lord, forgive us, those of us who confess that sin, Lord, forgive us. And Lord, touch our heart this morning by your Holy Spirit. For those who need to receive you as Lord and Savior, Lord, give them the courage to confess you, confess Jesus Christ as their Lord and their Savior this morning. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to stay at the front here this morning after the service. If anybody wants to talk about the message, if anybody feels that they really want to recommit their lives to Christ, I'll be at the front here and we can pray together. Just two announcements. We do have our annual meeting starting at 1 o'clock downstairs this morning. I hope you all brought a lunch. And our fellowship dinner is next Saturday evening at 6 o'clock again here at the church. So all are, did I not get that right? That is right. Okay. March 2nd at 6 o'clock here at the church. And we'd love to see you all there on Saturday evening for, join us for dinner as a time of fellowship together. As you go from this place, go asking Jesus to go with you, invite him into your heart, listen to his voice. Go in the peace of God. God loves you. Amen.